Amen. If you open your Bibles to John chapter 7, we're going to read verses 37 through 39, but first, 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So, John chapter 7. In verse 37 says, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And I want you also, in a familiar passage when I'm preaching, is John chapter 10 and verse 10. "The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And when I'm talking tonight, I just want to think about, because I've been teaching in the Sunday school class, the Christian walk and the victorious Christian life. And so we're going to look at some of the principles of victory in the Christian life. It won't be, because it's a Wednesday night, it's not going to be as thorough as a Sunday morning or Sunday night, but I want you to think about this, because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, and there's two words, and it's so important to us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to have victory in a Christian life. One, there's transformation. You were transformed from a child of the devil to a child of God. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And the second word that's important, it deals with the Christian victory, the Christian life, is it says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." We are being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Okay? So I want you to look at Romans chapter, I'm going to go quick tonight, Romans chapter 8. I won't read from 35 down through 39, but I want you to read 37 and think about this. Okay? It says here in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" That's pretty all-encompassing of what you are going to face, isn't it? "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are" what? "More than conquerors through him that loved us." I don't know about you, but I like that. I want you to know, I've read the end of the book over 300 times. And guess what? We win. Because he wins. Amen? So I want you to understand that. And Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Living by faith is opposite of living in or by the flesh. You can't get away from it. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that ye are now made perfect in the flesh? If you begin by faith, why do we continue to try to fight by the flesh? Okay, again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what the flesh is concerned about? How it looks to others. That's the flesh. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be put down. I don't want them to look at me that way. It's the outward appearance. You know what? If you're always concerned with the outward appearance, okay, that's something. I love watching things. You know, I used to lift weights a lot. I power lifted. You know what they put on the walls in the places where the weights are? Mirrors. So you want to look at, oh, that's my bicep. That's my forearm. That's my traps. This is my lats. Boom, boom. Yeah. The only time you did, trouble was I was already past being a teenager. Teenagers do that all the time. Okay. You ever see that? Oh. They get to be a certain, you get past the pimple stage as a teenager. Everybody, you know what I mean? Okay, next thing you know, when you walk by a mirror, yeah, guys are as bad as girls. Girls, they look and go, what's wrong? Guys go, man, that looks good. You know, like this? That's the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. It's that outward appearance. Now, you need to take care of yourself, right? It says, bodily exercise profiteth. There is profit there. Okay. But godliness is great gain. If you don't take care of a house, pretty soon it's full of dirt. Just leave it. If you don't keep heat in it, the pipes all bust. You understand what I'm saying? So there is a need for physical things. It becomes more important to you as you get to a certain age when it doesn't work the way it used to. Okay? But see, the flesh is always outwardly. It's always the outward thing. Faith is a confession of your inability to have victory by yourself. You can't have victory after the flesh. You can only have it with submission to God, because faith is seen by your submission to God. God knows your heart. If our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But you know what other people see? And they go, oh boy, he's a strong believer. No, they see the submission or the obedience to what God does, what God says. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul had to learn this. He always loved it. I always tease, you know, I used to say, well, you know, you want to debate, I'll debate you. You want to push, I'll outpush you. Okay? I wanted God to teach me how to love. I wanted God to teach me how to minister to hurting people. So now you know what I do? I can't out-debate you, and I can't out-push you, but I can certainly out-hurt you. I hurt. That's what I mean by that. Okay? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, this is the testimony of who I think is the greatest of all the apostles, the Apostle Paul. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. God, I asked him three times, take it away, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then what? I'm strong. See, it's Christ's strength. You still with me? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul's describing himself. He comes down through this and he says in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, was Paul being prideful there? He's stating a truth. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. It's touching the law of Pharisee, the strictest adherent to the Old Testament law, the Pharisees. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is of the law. I can't make that claim. He said it's touching righteousness is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that I and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I read that because you know what we have to be careful of in the Christian life? Natural ability, self-strength. Sometimes, you know, people, they think they're better just because they didn't come from a family that struggled. You know what they talk about children of people who are affluent? That's a fancy word for saying they're rich. Okay? They seem entitled. I had someone say to me, I'm laughing at him, because then I embarrassed him. I won't tell it, because I got in the flesh. Okay? But they said to me, oh, you're one of those people. And I said, yeah. And then proceeded to, how'd you say, unclothe their entitlement. The only problem, they didn't get saved because it was my flesh dealing with their flesh. But so many times people, they think, you know, well, isn't that when the Pharisee and the publican, what did the Pharisee say? I thank God I am not, what? As other men. I do this and I do that. Well, you got to be careful of that. Careful of self-strength. Careful of judging someone when you see them. All right? I don't know, you know, some people come in and they look at Judy and they come in, well, she's got her act together. And I'm going, when we first got saved, she didn't want to go to Calvary, did you? Because you didn't own a what? A skirt. They'll kick me out the door if I come in there in slacks. Well, they didn't kick us out, okay? That's where we met some of our good friends, Howard and Linda. We met them at Calvary, okay? But there was some that looked like our sister, or Judy's sister, my sister-in-law, Luann, worked in a church in Elkton, Maryland, that if a woman came in slacks, they took her in a room and they took her and they gave her a skirt to put on. And if a man came in a polo shirt, they didn't make him change his slacks. If he came in shorts, they were sending him out. But if he came in slacks, they'd give him a dress shirt and a tie to put on. I asked Luann, how big was that church? And he says, not as big as it could have been. Because you know what that is? I thank God I am not as other men. You got to be aware of the self. Okay? You got to be aware of self. For sake of time, I won't turn there, but in Genesis, let me see here, 32, verses 24 through 32, Jacob wrestled with, he thought it was an angel all night long. Wouldn't let him go. So the angel, what? Touched his thigh, and he was partially crippled the rest of his life. And he asked the angel whose name is. He wouldn't give him his name. So you know what he called the name of that place? Peniel. God is here. God is here. You ever think if we got what we deserved? I can't take on angels, and neither can you. But the Holy Spirit within me tells us we're going to judge angels. Okay? So where's the power for the victory? When I am weak, then I am. I can do through. Okay. I find, you know, we turn around and we say, Christ in you. You know, part of the Christian walk is surrendering a new area of your life to Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That comes to every area you haven't surrendered to him. That's not a verse on salvation to the Laodicean church. They got to let him in. You know, when people want to have victory over the stuff in their life, they can either fight it in their flesh or they can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of their heart and saying, let me have that. Let me take control. All right? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I just look at this phrasing and I'm going, you know, I had never thought of it this way. So we're saying we want Christ in our lives, right? Isn't that what we try to say? I've got to invite Jesus Christ into this area of my life, which is true, but you got to understand it already belongs to him. And I get looking in Colossians chapter 3, and it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ, where? Now watch. Now, we're supposed to have Christ in our life. Look what that says here in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Think about that one. Christ is your life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ who is your life. I'm trying to think of a good way to illustrate this. If you were to, when Judy and I first got married, I hope I don't get in trouble, okay, she took my name, all right? And Judy's always been lead, follower, get out of my way. She'll follow. If you won't, something has to be done. She didn't want, well, I go, oh, for you, you're not letting me be, you're not letting me be the leader. Lead, all right? So she's, through the years, you know what's happened? We're almost to that point when you see certain couples where they finish each other's sentences. I don't know if that means she thinks more like me or if I think more like her or if we're both thinking more like Christ. Okay, but you notice the difference? It starts that independence, and after a period of time, as I use as a triangle and I illustrate the Christian marriage, two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not soon broken. And I use that, but I also use a triangle. And if you're here and your spouse is here and Jesus is at the head, as you grow closer to Christ and your spouse grows closer to Christ, what happens to the distance between you? Being conformed into the image of who? That's who they're supposed to see. It's Christ, who is your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are what? Not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are? They're his, they're not mine. Temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just quick verses. Try not to say too much. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 7. But we have this treasure. What's that treasure? For God, who hath commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of what? And not of us. Not of us. Judy and I praise God for that every day. Every day. She's alive. I don't know why God heals one and doesn't heal the other. Why he takes somebody at some point, sometime the other. I have no right to judge that in anybody's life. Do you understand that? That's not your place. We look at this and we thank God for every day together. This is a new day you've given us. At the end of the day, we thank you for this day you've given us, another day together, another day to praise you, another day to be with each other, another day to pray to you, another day to look for divine appointments, another day to try to give you glory. You know what that does? Do we have less differences of opinion now? She doesn't remember differences of opinion because we're starting to bring it together. So you know what? We don't sweat the small stuff. I'm having pain today, a weird one. I'm not even going to go into it. It can be sharp. If I get a funny look on my face, it's because of that's happening. And we were going to pray, and I'm reading my Bible, and she said, "Are you upset with you?" "No, Noni, I'm not upset. I'm having a weird neuralgia pain today. It hurts." And she goes, "Okay." And I said, "So if I'm a little short," so I understand. I won't be upset because it's not, you're not having a problem with me. You're just having a problem. Okay? That's not something that newlyweds understand, is it? They're so worried about pleasing. We just, Lord, help us to rejoice today. Okay? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not about us. Christ is not just in your life, but he's in your body and in your spirit. You know what it is? The key to the Christian life is trusting, not trying. I won't give a name, but there's an evangelist I know. He spent his whole life trying this and then trying that and then trying this and then trying that. He's made a mess. If I give too much information, some of you might figure out who I'm talking about. But he's made a mess. Because he can't tell you, well, the Lord led me to do this or not to do that. He goes, well, I tried that, and that went bad. I tried this. All I can think of is the person throwing the stick in the air, trying to choose the direction they want to go. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 6. And we'll finish up pretty quick, I promise. Romans chapter 6. You ready? Verse 3. Know ye not that as so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's not water baptism, that's the baptism of the Spirit. You all received that. You were put into Christ. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as that Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk how? In newness of life. We died with Christ. You're buried with him. We rose with him. Look at verse 8, same chapter. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. You still with me? We're to share the present life of Christ. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in he liveth unto who? Not self. See, it's trusting, not trying. I'm not going to try this out. Lord, what would you have me to do? You know what? There's only one problem. Sometimes you're waiting a lot longer for him to show you to do something different than what you're doing than you think you ought to wait. And you know what drives me crazy? God is never in a hurry. Okay? You share your present life of Christ. Requirements for that victory? Verse 11. Likewise, reckon. Well, I reckon. Okay. That was a term my mother used in North Carolina. I reckon you're about getting in trouble with your mama. She's coming to an understanding. Understand, likewise, reckon, understand you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. See, one, you got to understand, if you're dead in Christ, you live in Christ. Okay? You reckon, and then you have to turn it over to Him. Does that say I have to understand that? It says I have to surrender it to Him, doesn't it? I have to yield it. I have to yield it. Galatians 2:20, I've already said it, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of my faith in Christ. That's not what that says. Pastor Kinney pointed out, and I never thought of it that way before. Okay? I live by the faith of who? Not the faith in, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done. You getting that picture? I am crucified. I'm a new creature in Christ. You're going to have a choice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies, what you do with the flesh. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Right? Be not conformed, be ye transformed. How? You can't have victory in a Christian life if you don't know what God thinks and what God says about what He wants you to do. It's going to be a choice. Text verse 16, it says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. That's the victorious life. See yourself as God sees you. Look for that. Surrender to what God says, even if it's not maybe what you want or you don't understand. It used to be a thing, probably when we were a young couple. I don't know if it came up. It wasn't in our teenage years, but it was in our 20s. Okay, that would put us in the 70s. That far away, before the internet. Okay, when a cell phone, they went in the car, was bigger than a dashboard. You think I'm kidding? Great big old thing. You carry it in, plug it in. All right, you know what it was? It's saying they had bumper stickers that says, God said it. I believe it, that what? That's not true. Because if you don't believe it, it's not settled with God. What it should say is, God said it, that, whether I believe or understand it or not my will, but thy will be done. For when I am weak, then I am strong, and the power of Christ can rest upon me. And all God's children said, good night and God bless.